I want to read just a little bit to you. Let's turn over to the book of 1 Chronicles. Most of you know that the Chronicles is the book of the kings. It's got in here the book of the kings, 1 and 2 Kings, which was the records they kept during their administration. And then the Chronicles are a repeat of the book of the kings. The word, I've expressed it from the pulpit, it comes from the chronological order of things, the Chronicles. All right, so reading over in the 1 Chronicles, if you've got your Bible, let's start at the 16th chapter at the first verse. So they brought the ark of God and set it in the midst of the tent that David had pitched for it. And they offered burnt sacrifices and peace offerings before God. And when David had made an end of offering the burnt offerings and the peace offerings, he blessed the people in the name of the Lord. And he dealt to every one of Israel, both man and woman, to every one a loaf of bread and a good piece of flesh and a flagon of wine. And he appointed certain of the Levites to minister before the ark of the Lord and to record and to thank and praise the Lord God of Israel. Asaph the chief, and next to him Zechariah, Jeiel, and Shemiramoth, and Jearel, and Mattithiah, and Eliab, and Benaiah, and Obed-Edom, and Jeiel with psalteries and with harps. But Asaph made a sound the cymbals. Benaiah also, and Jehaziel the priest with trumpets, continually before the ark of the covenant of God. Then on that day David delivered first this psalm to thank the Lord into the hand of Asaph and his brethren. Give thanks unto the Lord, call upon his name, make known his deeds among the people. All right, now, how have you noticed that? First he said, give thanks to the Lord. Next he said, we ought to call upon his name. And then he said that we ought to testify what God has done in the healing and deliverance, helping and blessing the people. Sing unto him, sing psalms unto him. Talk ye of all his wondrous works. Glory ye in his holy name. Let the heart of them rejoice that seek the Lord. Seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his face continually. Remember his marvelous works that he hath done, his wonders and the judgment of his mouth. All ye seed of Israel, his servant, ye children of Jacob, his chosen ones, he is the Lord our God. His judgments are in all the earth. Be mindful always of his covenant, the word which he commanded to a thousand generations, even of the covenant which he made with Abraham, and of his oath unto Isaac, and hath confirmed the same to Jacob for a law, and to Israel for an everlasting covenant, saying unto thee, will I give thee land of Canaan, the lot of your inheritance, when ye were but few, even a few, and strangers in it, and when they went from nation to nation, and from one kingdom to another people, he suffered no man to do them wrong. Yea, he reproved kings for their sake, saying, touch not mine anointed, and do my prophets no harm. Sing unto the Lord, all the earth. Show forth from day to day his salvation. Declare his glory among the heathen, his marvelous works among all nations. For great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised. He also is to be feared above all gods, for all the gods of the people are idols. But the Lord made the heavens. Glory and honor are in his presence. Strength and gladness are in his place. Give unto the Lord, ye kindred of the people. Give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name. Bring an offering and come before him. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Fear before him all the earth. The world also shall be stable, that it not be moved. Let the heavens be glad, and let the earth rejoice. And let men say among the nations, the Lord reigneth. Let the sea roar and the fullness thereof. Let the fields rejoice and all that is therein. Then shall the trees of the wood sing out at the presence of the Lord, because he cometh to judge the earth. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. And say ye, save us, O God of our salvation, and gather us together and deliver us from the heathen, that we may give thanks to thy holy name and glory in thy praise. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel forever and ever. And all the people said, amen and praise the Lord. You know, I like the way that David expressed the sayings here. And really, it wasn't David. It was God speaking through David. Jesus proved that in the New Testament when he referred back to it. But it says here in the 29th verse, worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. The beauty of holiness. You know, to show you how perverted the people of the world are, to show you just how perverted they really are, to them, holiness is something to be despised. And to them, holiness is something that is unclean. To them, holiness is something that they don't want any part of. Now, they don't want any part of holiness. You can walk up into one of the finer offices up here in town or in Atlanta, and you can sit down and you can say, I'm holiness. And they automatically look at you with a degraded look. Isn't that right? Now, but you can talk about the Pope of Rome, and you could say, we're speaking of his holiness, and they look up. Now, why is that? Why is that? The reason is because holiness people have reproached holiness by hypocritical living, by rolling and tumbling, being a bunch of holy rollers, as they call them, climbing poles, shouting, and women falling down on the floor and supposed to be out in the spirit, men pushing them and treating them like a herd of cattle, stealing other men's wives, and wives stealing other women's husbands, not working, being lazy, contrary, self-will, confessing holiness, and some of them would knock your eye tooth out. That's what's done it. That's what's done it. So when you say your holiness, that's the first they think of. First thing they think of, a bunch of holy rollers. Poor folks that don't have much, they can't be blessed of God because they won't live right. So then the world looks down on them. Whereas the Bible said, it would above all things that you prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. But now, why is that like that? It's the carelessness, the unconcern, the lack of doing what God told them to do, and the lack of the preachers telling them the truth and being an example to the people. Money-hungry preachers all over the country, given to the passions of the flesh. Somebody said, but I know them people, they fast, Brother Pike, them's good folks. I don't mean nothing. That's like a woman, she fasts 21 days, she come in my service, there'll be a rebellious spirit on her. Fast 11 days. I don't know how many days. Many days. But she come in to be a rebellious devil every time she come in my service. A few days ago, the rebellious devil showed himself. He's been there all these years. Even the family and the children confessed it. She cut her hair off, left her husband, went out, go get her a man. And get married again. Somebody said, well, she's just getting married again. No, she's just getting her man. She ain't lost the first one yet. You understand what I'm saying? See, that is what has happened to holiness. Fasting don't mean nothing unless you live holy. All right. So then, why is it like that? God let it be like that. Why did God let it be like that? That they would look up to the Pope and not look up to the real thing. It's because God wanted the mud on the water to hide the virtue. And he let every demon and every devil and every person that was just any old thing come along and number themselves with holiness. Because holiness people are kind and loving and sweet. And they receive everything. The world won't do that. They'll use a billy stick on you if you don't conform to their laws. Put you in a pen. All right. But see, the devil can do anyway among the holiness people. Drunkards, whoremongers, liars, cheat, robbers. The Bible said when the sons of God came to present themselves before God, Satan came also. But see, the Lord allowed that. He wanted all of the world to look up to the papacy of Rome because that's where they're all going to head up at. That's where the beast is coming. And he wanted them all to get their eyes on the refineries and the dainties and the good things of this world. Now you say, Brother Pike, you're justifying all of that evil and wretchedness. No, I'm not justifying. All of that's wrong. It ought not be there. And God's going to take it off. He's going to get the mud off of the water. But he allowed it to be there. He suffered it to be there. Just like death, God has no pleasure even in the death of the wicked. He'd rather they repent and live right. But the thing is, death continues on because God allows it to continue on for his purpose. All right. You know, as the lady's sitting here and she knows God's got her number. She knows God's got her number. And it tires her up. She's tried everything to get around it. But she knows God's got her number. So you ain't but one thing to do, lady, and that's repent and get right with God. You won't feel like you do while I'm preaching. All right. You won't feel that distance between me and you in the spirit, whereas you'd like to feel the nearness of God in my heart to your heart, but you can't do it because of that. But if you'll get straightened out, you can. God's got your number. All the things you do ain't going to suffice. All the things you say ain't going to suffice. You're going to come down the line and break that haughty spirit you got and humble your spirit to God and submit. You're going to do it or you're going to go to hell. All right. So then there is something, see, that's beautiful about holiness. It's not like the world sees it at all because the world isn't looking at holiness. What is the world looking at? They're not looking at holiness. They're looking at a bunch of holy rollers, as they call them. Isn't that right? That's what they're looking at. You say, well, that's the Christian people. No, I don't know anybody that's a Christian that goes around rolling like a tire and turning flips. I don't know anybody that does that. I know a lot of spirits that do that. Now, I don't know of any holiness people that goes around climbing poles, sliding up and down them. I don't know of anybody like that. Somebody said, but that's God. I never read where Jesus ever done it. And he told me to follow in his steps. And if he never did do it, I never did feel inspired to do it either. Is that right? I never did see where he ever turned any cartwheels or rolled around on the floor to prove to somebody that he was holy. Not one time. And the Bible told me to follow in his steps. Is that right? All right. I never read one time where he had a tent meeting and got the people lined up and pushed them through like a herd of cattle either. And shoved the ladies down and put his hands all over them. I never seen that either. I never read that. See, and God said, follow his steps. You understand what I'm saying, folks? All right, now, are we going to follow Jesus, which is the Word, and obey the Word? Or are we going to follow our feelings and follow what the world says about it? I'm going to follow Jesus. All right, Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. All right, so that means follow the Word. All right, so God allowed all the dirt to get on the water. It was God's way. He allowed that. Why did he allow that? Because he knew the banker. He knew the Pope of Rome. He knew the men with the money, Rockefeller. And he knew the great men of this day would get a monopoly on this thing and they would set it up and you'd have to buy your way into it like you do the Catholic Church. They think the Catholic Church is right, so they buy their way into it. They have to pay this and pay that, pay other things and pay the people out of purgatory and all kinds of things. Buy holy water and beads and everything else. Is that right? Go over in Israel. They just got the place covered up selling beads and everything else over there. Turn the churches into a place of merchandise, just like Jesus said. Buy anything you want to. You know what Jesus would do if he was here? The same thing. He'd turn over some more tables and he'd get the whip. That's right, folks. That's why when a person comes along preaching the gospel, it sounds like he's the one that's popping the whip and turning over the tables. They say, well, preacher, that don't sound like a preacher. Sounds to me like he's turning over all the tables and popping the whip. Come on now. That's what somebody said yesterday. I was popping a whip. All right. Maybe it is that way. Who knows? Maybe we need the whip popped. But the thing is, Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. You say, but Brother Pike, you're not talking to the Catholic Church. But when I'm out there, a lot of times I'm talking to the old whore's daughter. Is that right? The great whore, the Bible said. A spiritual whoredom that won't receive the name of her husband, Jesus Christ. You know, he wouldn't give her his name anyway, because she's not his wife. But she has played the harlot. Now, so you go out there, you're preaching to those daughters. And they're doing the same thing that the mother harlot does. They're selling. They've got a tithing system, and they set it up to buy and to sell and to get gain, to pull for offerings. And they've got chicken suppers and parties and everything you can think of, from basketball games to I don't know what. And some of them's even a little bolder than that. Some of the evangelists that come to Atlanta, they don't sell nothing until they get you inside. But they've got an admission at the door. You just have to pay to get in to hear them. My amen, sure are poor this morning. Now, what is it? I'm talking about holiness. Those people won't live holy. They'll pray for the sick. They'll do everything you do, but they won't live holy. You know why they won't live holy? It's because they can't live holy. There ain't no way they can live holy. You can't live holy without God's Spirit, and they don't have God's Spirit. Somebody would say, but Brother Pike, if all of those healings and miracles and different things was taking place, like you say, then God would have to be in arrangement. No, sir. No, sir. See, let me tell you something. God doesn't have to be in anybody's heart to work a miracle. The whole group of them can be bastard children, and God can still work a miracle. God does what he wants to whenever he gets ready. Now, so when they come together, God's Spirit is not in their heart. They have a routine. They've had a vision. They went on a fast. They've hit it lucky. Got a hold of a good bit of money. Or cheated and swindled. Got together and taken an offering. And convinced the people that they had God. Somebody said, now Brother Pike, you know they wouldn't do that. What about this little fellow on television? I haven't seen him, but he tell me about it. How that he deceived all of them and went over there, and he's talking against Brother David Terrell. Said he's got movies of what Brother Terrell done. And he's talking against this fellow out here in Oklahoma. What's his name? Bud Chambers. Talking about having movies and all this. They say that he's showing them on television all the different things that these people have done. Talking about people not being able to deceive you. He said that he went in and out among the holiness people and deceived them all over the nation. And said he had a few million or billion dollars. And said they never even have enough discernment to know it. Said he preached to them and took them in and done all of them that way. In the biggest tents. In the biggest programs. And they used him. You know what caused them to miss out when the man came by? What caused them to miss out? It was because they was not watching for holiness. They set their experience on tongues. If somebody speaks in tongues and they're holiness people. Folks, because somebody speaks with a tongue, that don't mean they're holiness. They might be a bastard child on their way to hell. That don't mean nothing. But holiness is the only sign that God gives. There ain't no other sign of righteousness but holiness. The Bible said the beauty of holiness. And to be holy as I'm holy. Is that right? And when the angel of the Lord spoke over there concerning John the Baptist, he said that my people should serve me in holiness and righteousness all the days of their life. If they had watched that man was crooked. He confessed that he was. Confess how he got on the plains and cut up with the stewardess and so forth. The Bible said, know them that labor among you. If you ain't got no discernment, you need to put somebody on the trail and find out something. They didn't watch for holiness. They looked for the wrong thing. They didn't watch for holiness. And it's the same thing today. Somebody could come around and shout or preach good or speak in tongues. or lay hands on the sick and something take place. And the first news you know, everybody begins to follow him. How is it that Oral Roberts overthrew the entire Pentecostal world? How did he do it? How did he do it? Years ago, the Lord showed me he would do it. How did Oral Roberts do it? How did he do it? By miracles and signs and wonders. Didn't he do that? He did it by... Somebody said, now, Brother Pike, Brother Roberts is right with God. If Oral Roberts is preaching the gospel and if he's right with God, then the Pentecostal world is a bunch of reprobates. Oral's not right with God. He needs to get right with God. That's what it is. And we need to have enough backbone to stand up in the world and tell the people that he's not right with God, that God one time used him, but God's not using him, and he needs to get right with God, and the people turn away from him. That's what it needs to be. They don't need to follow a man like that. No more than they need to follow Billy Graham. Billy Graham ain't right with God. They don't need to follow Billy Graham either. Folks, this thing that we're preaching, the Bible said, be holy in your body. Be holy in your body. You can't take part in the things Billy Graham's taking part in and be holy in your body. You can't do what Old Roberts is doing and be holy in your body. You can't do what them preachers is doing out yonder in these other churches and be holy in body. It's like a man that come up here yesterday. He was talking to me yesterday and telling me, he said he named over two or three of the brethren that's been up here that's been connected with this church, and now they got churches of their own in different places over in Mississippi and down in South Georgia and different places around. He said, I don't understand them people. I said, what do you mean? He said, well, I go down there to them and I fellowship them. And so they talk about you like you're a dog, Brother Pike, and call you a false prophet. And so they say they love you. He said, I happen to know how they talk about you because I'm there and I listen at it. He said, we have a little problem sometimes. And he said, I confess. And he made his confession that he said he was wrong. He knew he was wrong, even being around them like that. You understand what I'm saying? Those people don't have God. They're not right with God. They are children of the devil, and they are filled with confusion, and they cause everybody else to be full of confusion. Confusion's of the devil, and everybody that works confusion is of the devil. But blessed is the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. All right. If I go out over here at Little Bethlehem and I cause a confusion, I'm of the devil. If I get among the brotherhood and I cause confusion, I'm of the devil. If I go out yonder in somebody's meeting or somewhere else and I cause confusion, I'm of the devil. Is that right? But brother, let me tell you, all the paths of God are peace. Every path I've ever traveled for God has been peaceful and sweet and loving. Now, I met the devil along the way, but God knocked him slap out of the block every time. I didn't have any problem because the battle's not mine. It belongs to the Lord. And all I did was just call on the name Jesus, and Jesus knocked him slap out of the block. And then we go on our way. All right. So then, the beauty of holiness. Folks, holiness is not a bunch of rock and rolls on the organ. Holiness is not a bunch of people that's got together in mini skirts, bathing suits. Holiness is not this thing that they've got out there in the Pentecostal world that they call basketball and all the other games that they got out there. That's not holiness. That's the world. And we've got to differentiate between the world and between God. You say, what do you mean, Brother Pike? I mean that God is the spirit of holiness. And we've got to differentiate between God, which is holiness, and that which is the world. They say that they've got God, and they've got basketball teams, football teams. They've got all kinds of things in the world. That is not holiness. Neither is that God. Because God is the spirit of holiness. If them people had God, they would have holiness. You can't fellowship God without fellowship and holiness, because God is holiness. Now, as the old saying is, it's holiness or it's hell. Because God is the only spirit of life. He's the only spirit of hope. He's the only spirit that is self-existing. Holiness. The church of God, what do they need to do? Somebody said, now, Brother Pike, don't go to doing that. But I'm already doing it anyway. What does the church of God need to do? They need to get born again, repent of their sins, and get straightened out with God. That's what the church of God needs to do. What does the UPC need to do? They need to get born again and straighten out with God. There's people in the UPC are some of the most haughty people in the world. I met some of them. What does the rest of the church world need to do? The entire thing needs to get straightened out, repent of our sins, and come back to God and straighten out with God. Hallelujah. And I feel the Holy Ghost. If they don't do it, they're going to wind up a bunch of reprobates, and God's going to put them all in hell because they'll be a bunch of bastard children. You say, Brother Pike, how do you get that? Because the conditions is just as it was in the days of Noah. When Noah stood up and condemned the evils of that day, it's just exactly that way right now. The Bible said, as it was in the days of Noah. How was it in the days of Noah? The Bible said, all flesh had corrupted its way before God. The midnight cry, they all were asleep. All right. So then, what are we talking about? The beauty of holiness. Brother, let me tell you. The Bible said in that day there'll be few trees left in the forest of God. Just a few trees. There won't be the Baptists, the Methodists, the Pentecostals, the Church of God, the UPC. All they won't be that in that day. What will it be? It'll be just a few people. Fear not, little flock. Do you call the Pentecostal world a little flock? No, it's a big flock. You understand what I'm saying? The Baptist ain't no little flock. Millions of them. The Catholic ain't no little flock. You say, Brother Pike, then where is the little flock? It's the holiness people. Oh, somebody said, that's them Pentecostal people. No, I'm not talking about Pentecostal people. Pentecost is an old Jewish festival that people celebrate. They're still doing it the same way today. I'm talking about holiness people. People that are holy, righteous, clean. Women that'll get out and wear the long dresses and be holy on the inside too. Holy in spirit and wear long dresses so that they be holy on the outside. Somebody said, now, women don't have to cover their bodies up like that to be holy on the outside. You all are. They do it. You are a liar. Women have to cover their bodies to be holy. Amen. In their body. Now, you say, well, if they're holy in their spirit, that takes care of it. They are not holy in their spirit if they don't cover their bodies. Let me tell you something. If you're holy in your spirit, it'll make you do something on the outside. That's right. If you got the Holy Ghost on the inside, you're going to talk holy, think holy, and be holy. And you're going to do the same way that the nature done when it walked in the body of Jesus Christ. And I believe this. The Bible said a virtuous woman, her price is far beyond that of rubies. When we get back to holiness, the power of God will be back in the church. But until we do, we're going to sell shoestrings and peddle holy water and push people down and get everybody so excited that they don't know whether anything's happening or not. And what makes the thing so bad now, the Pentecostal people has took in a number of doctors out there in the world, and they're Pentecostal, and they give them a quick little rundown on it and say, yep, shoot, that's what was wrong. You brought her a miracle. And he's lying just like you're lying. They just got the doctors in the ranks to work with them now. Somebody say hallelujah. Now, you say, what are you talking about? I'm talking about holiness. Now, them men need to get right with God. Billy Graham needs to come down that lofty state of calling himself an evangelist, get down in the dust and pray through with God, and get an experience with Christ. Somebody say, don't you believe that man's a believer? I certainly do, but I believe the devil's a believer too. Amen. But that is not going to take a man to heaven if you believe all you want to. But the Bible said faith without holiness is dead. Works. Hallelujah. The works of holiness, perfecting holiness unto the Lord. The Bible said for you to work with God, perfecting holiness unto the Lord. If we would be holy, be clean, and be upright, then God would receive us. But we don't obey the Word of God, do we? We do what we want to do when it's convenient for us. That's what we do. That's why we get in trouble. A lot of times I preach here and I tell the men, I say, you men, don't go riding around with women unless your wife's in there. But do you obey it? No. If there's a woman close by, she needs a lift or whatever, she calls on you, hop in the car. Isn't that right? Just you and her takes off. That's not holiness. That's not godly. You're supposed to be clean. Clean in the sight of God. There'd be some difference if he was a single man and she was a single woman. And I don't mean one that's been married to two or three husbands. She ain't single. One's been married to two or three wives. He ain't single. Somebody say hallelujah. I'm talking about the beauty of holiness. Now, show them there's something that's real. I'm going to take a few minutes to talk with you about it. Somebody said, we want some revelation. This is one of the greatest revelations I know of in this day. I don't know of a greater revelation in this day than old time holiness. That's right. I think people have got so far away from old time holiness until when it would be revealed to some of them, it would scare them. They know so little about living holiness. But I'm talking about holiness. Just go take holiness if you ever make it into the kingdom of God. Somebody would say, well, Brother Pike, I'm just going to stay around and wait and take my chance. And then in that day, we'll see which one of us makes it. I want to tell you again, we're not waiting to any certain day. It's right now that the kingdom of God is here. It's right now that the door of the kingdom is open. It's right now that men are going into heaven or into the kingdom of heaven. Right now. And they're going by me. You love the Lord? Somebody say hallelujah. That last part, somebody said, that's what broke the camel's back. Somebody say hallelujah. Yes, sir. They're going by the ministry. And I'm part of the ministry. All right. So then, the Bible said, when God put them out of that garden, he put a cherub there. He put a flaming sword there. Isn't that right? Who is that flaming sword? It's the ministry. The Bible said, I'll make my ministers a flame of fire. Is that right? So you got to get past that minister because he's the only way into the kingdom of God. Whosoever sins he remits shall be remitted. Whosoever sins he retains shall be retained. Whatever he binds on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatever he looses on earth will be loosed in heaven. Somebody would say, Brother Pike, you don't mean to tell me that you believe you can bind something down here and God will bind it up there. I certainly can. I certainly can. What is heaven anyway? The Spirit. Whatever he binds in the natural, it'll be bound in the Spirit. If you don't believe a minister can bind you, just get around him. He can bind you hand and feet. You can feel like that you're on the mountaintop and that you got God and everything is just right and you can do anything you want to, but you stay around him a little while and when he gets through dropping a few words in your ears, you'll feel like that you've been on ice skating. That's right, and all of the skates slipped out from under you. That's right. He can change things around with just words. He has the power to kill in his lips. He has the power to make alive in his lips. He knows exactly where to place that sword. He knows how to use it. He's an expert with it. He knows just exactly which stone to use and how much to sling it before he turns you loose to hit his target. He can kill you in just a few minutes. Now, holiness is beautiful. There ain't nothing no more beautiful than holiness. Some woman goes out here sloppy looking. Her hair's all tangled up like she hadn't combed it in a year. She's got her dress on. It looks like a sack. And she goes downtown and she says, I'm holiness. You're not holiness. You're just a mess. That's what you are. One of the first things holiness would teach you to do is cleanliness. And that is go take a bath and comb your hair. It teaches the hippies that. You love the Lord? Now, some of the mothers still let the little children run around in the long dresses, baggy and dirty and just as nasty as they can be. You haven't got the mind of Christ. The mind of Christ will teach you to guide the house and be a good mother if you had it. Running from one husband to another, one husband and two husbands and three husbands, you haven't got holiness. That's not holiness. Always tired of your wife, looking for another wife. That's not holiness. I'm talking about the few trees that he said would be left. Just a few of the trees. He said, but the trees that are left in my forest, he said, the people shall say, they are holy. They are holy. I like David's testimony over in Israel about the Bethlehemites here. The world didn't testify too good about them, but David testified real well about them. Now,
the beauty of holiness. In the early part of the message that I brought, just talking to you before I read the scripture to get some thoughts over to you, those thoughts that go through your mind and go through your heart, that is what determines whether or not you're holiness. If you have one evil thought to go through your mind, just one, not two, but one evil thought that goes through your mind that you don't kill and stop, you're not holiness. You're not holiness. If you will let one thought pass through your mind, just one, and don't kill that evil thing, just let it pass through your mind, you are not holiness. You might be a church member, but you are not holiness. You people that let thoughts of gossip go in and out the windows of your soul so that you can think of what to say against somebody or to somebody, you're not holiness. You've never been born again. You that stand on the job and you take the preacher part and always talk about the workers and find fault with the contractors, always saying something about the laity, whether in your home or on the job, you're not holiness. You need to be born again. Brother, if one thought goes through your mind and you don't kill that thought before you let it through there, you are not holiness. You love Jesus? When that old viper reached up and hooked his fangs in Paul, that poison was killed when it went into the blood veins. Old brother Paul just killed it right there. He didn't let it poison his system, did he? But you, when the devil hooks his fangs in you, you let that stuff run slap through your system and you're just the poison you can be when he gets through. You understand what I'm saying? Now, if you lie a little bit on the side to get your point over, you're not holiness. If you're in business and you just bypass the truth a little bit, you're not holiness. A lot of times you go to make a car deal. You go to buy a car or you go to get something. A lot of you are guilty of this one thing. And they'll say, well, we can't do this because of such and such and such. But now we can say that it was like this. When you know it wasn't like that. And somebody say, the Lord understands. He understands that you played the hypocrite. When God put you to the test like he did Daniel in the presence of the king and the presence of the people, when you should have said, no, I'll walk. I'll walk before I lose my soul and stand here in the front of you and let you think I'm a devil. But you know what we do? If we don't want to do that, we'll say, well, it will sit there, you know, and then we don't say nothing. Then when he puts it down, say, Heavenly Father, he done it. I didn't have nothing to do with it. He'll say, sign right here. So you sign it. That's not holiness. We're talking about the beauty of holiness. You understand what I'm saying? I'm talking about real old-time godly living. Holiness. Why is it that there's no power in the church? Because there's no God in the church. What is God? He's the spirit of holiness. What is the church? Somebody said, wait a minute, Brother Pike, I got God in my heart. Now, I agree that some of you do have God in your heart, but you don't do like you ought to do. But now, if you're immature, God will bear with you. He will bear with you. But now, them that have come to the understanding and knowledge of sin, he will not bear with you. You're not ignorant. I didn't preach to you. I didn't told you. You know. Now, so I agree that some of you have never come to maturity. You got God on the inside of you, but you'll never have any power. Even though God's on the inside of you, you won't have any power. Somebody said, wait a minute, Brother Pike. If I've got God, I've got power. I didn't say you didn't have power. I agree that you got power. But there won't be any power in the church. There won't be anything done, though you've got God. Because you've got him in prison. You limit the Holy One by your unbelief. Now you say, what do you mean if I've got God, you know, I still don't have power? Because the Bible said that Jesus went into the wilderness and then he returned in the power of the Spirit. So you can have God in your heart all you want to, but you got to get the body under subjection. You've got to bring it into holiness, or you are not going to return in the power of the Spirit. Somebody say, where does the Bible connect anything like that with power? The Bible said, make straight paths for yourself, lest that which is lame be turned aside, but rather let it be healed. Is that right? Now, what are you preaching? I'm preaching redemption of the body. How many believe in redemption of the body? Perfecting holiness unto the Lord. There's a message that's gone forth. That message went forth. And Brother Branham stemmed that message back there years ago. That message went forth. And there is a great revival that's been in the land. God has done great things and miracles and things of that sort have taken place. And all you had to do was just believe and go right into it. Because we didn't know anything about holiness, the church had fallen into the dark age. And so then God just accepted us on a spiritual condition. And all we did was repent of our sins, and then we believed our way into the kingdom of God. Is that right? But as the day wears on, as all of those multitudes move together that say that they came to God, then God begins to separate the Jacob and the Esau's. He begins to divide the sheep from the goat. Isn't that right? He begins to divide Jacob and Esau as he goes on down the trail. As we get nearer to the homeland, God begins to separate them. And suddenly we find out that many of those that have been among us didn't know anything about holiness. That they've never lived righteous. They've never had the Spirit of God. You see, you repent of your sins. You believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Then you're saved by the Spirit. God comes into your heart. Your spirit is translated into the kingdom of God. Is that right? Because some preacher has went and broke up the fallow ground. Somebody else has went and sowed in the seed. But it is a true fact that after all of that is done, then comes the time of the rain, the perfecting, the mother carrying the child. And then, after that, there comes forth the blade, the Bible said. And then after that, there comes forth a harvest. And then when the harvest comes, what is it? It's the manifestation of the inner man. See, the seed, if it was a tare, then it manifests the form of a tare, a bastard child. It comes out in the image of evil. If the seed that was sowed on the inside, when it finally comes up into a harvest, you can tell whether it's wheat or corn. When it finally comes up out of the ground, you look at it, the day of manifestation. The Bible said there'll come a time when all the world shall be tried. And I'll keep you from the trials that's to come upon the world. Is that right? So then that great hour of temptation that God speaks of, He is going to manifest holiness. He's going to let every devil, every demon, everything come before you to bring out your inner nature. That sunshine and that rain keeps wooing, wooing. It keeps wooing, and that earth, old Mother Earth, can't hold that seed. Is that right? It keeps wooing. And after a while, that blade shoots up. She can't hold that seed. See, God's going to send so much grace, so much mercy. He's done it down through the years. So much grace and so much mercy. So much goodness. So much eating. So much drinking. So much lust. So much mingling with the opposite sex. He's just going to make it just so much of it. Beautiful cars, homes, land, television, everything. And after a while it's going to, you know, that great magnet passes over. If there's anything on the inside that's relative to it, it's going to catch it. And God, He lets that great magnet of Satan move over with pretty things and good things. And Satan loveth the things that be of this world. And that thing on the inside of you that loves the things of this world, that seed that's been sowed in there by Satan, it's relative to that, and it jumps up and it makes contact. And then it shows its color. Isn't that right? It'll show its color. All of a sudden you look around and say, my man, I don't understand that sister over there, but I know she's a good sister. But I don't understand it. She dresses out, you know, she don't dress right. She don't talk right. She's rebellious. She don't obey her husband. But I wouldn't say nothing against her for nothing because she's a good sister. She's not a good sister. She's a devil. See, the manifestation of her devilish ways are being made known. She's not a sister at all. Judas wasn't a brother. Jesus didn't call him brother. He wasn't a brother. You understand what I'm saying? He was among them, but he was a devil. Jesus said, I chose 12, one's a devil. Not a good brother. Are you listening? I'm talking about the beauty of holiness, folks. A lot of you need that. I got a lot of this congregation that needs holiness. I got many people here today out of this congregation that needs holiness in their life. And so then they move on down the stream together. God started that great move, and there came a manifestation. And now the world is beginning to see what the inner you is like. If you've really got holiness, if your desire is really godly, if you've really died out to the flesh, sold out to God, the Bible speaks of them that belong to God that they have crucified the flesh with the lust and affections thereof. If that inner man's crucified the old outer man, killed out the lust, then he's holiness. As the days wear on, you know what he'll do? He'll perfect holiness unto God. The women will start putting on the long dresses as they come into the knowledge of it. The man will start wearing clothes that's not form-fitting, that's decent to look at. They'll begin to talk right, think right, act right, love their fellow man, stand up for the Word of God, cry out against evil and treachery. Did you know what Oral Roberts and those other fellows are doing, like Billy Graham, different ones? Did you know that's treason? The highest form of treason, how do you know that? If I sinned against God, or against the president rather, the government of this world, if I'd done something against them, that would be likened unto sin against God. That'd be treason. If I take the Constitution and I misrepresent it as an ambassador for the United States, I've committed treason. And when those men took the Word of God and went out there in their frivolous ways and misrepresented the Word of God, they committed treason. Spiritual treason. The highest form of it. And someday God will draw them into the Supreme Court. And it'll be too bad in that day when they stand before the great judge. I said, he that speaketh my word, let him do it faithfully. Let him speak my word faithfully. You love Jesus. Hallelujah. I got a fellow sitting here so intellectually puffed up, it don't look like he'll ever get out of it. God's trying to use him, have been for years, but he can't get over the fact of resenting me just a little bit by that vain, puffed up knowledge of his. And because of that, it keeps him sitting on the sideline. Somebody say, I love Jesus. All right. Now, I do that to see if you follow me. Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. If you'll honor me when I ask you to do something, I know you follow me. The others say, I don't feel like doing that. I said that a while ago. You love Jesus? All right. So then, God has got us down to the water hole. He's going to prove us. There is something that God has placed in the church called holiness. I made this statement the other day. I said, I had rather have the blessing of the Lord than all of the wealth, knowledge, and power of this world. I'd rather have the blessing of the Lord. If I was going to make a choice, I'd want the blessing of the Lord. God would say, can I give you something? I say, give me the blessing of the Lord. Why is that? Because the Bible said the blessing of the Lord maketh rich, both naturally and spiritually he maketh rich. Alright, so then somebody planted some seed. In doing that move, God cleared some new ground, broke up the fallow ground, he planted some seed. Is that right? Now, but God is looking for a harvest. We're over Jordan now and we're looking for that new harvest. Where is that new harvest? God promised a new harvest. How can you get it? You can't get it in the wilderness. Because from the time they left Egypt, they didn't get another harvest. They had their harvest down in Egypt. That's what God did. He came to them out there in the world when they were in the reprobate churches in different places. And God raised up a great man and a great move and he gave them a great harvest. The Bible said when David brought the Ark of the Covenant in, what did he do? He gave him a loaf of bread. Didn't he do that? He gave him something to eat. They all were happy. And then they praised the Lord. Then they sang. And then they shouted and had a good time. Is that right? Because the Ark of the Covenant had come in. Now, but the thing is, that day back there, that day is gone. They didn't get any more harvest when they got into the wilderness. They had to... God had to take care of them during that period of time. You say, Brother Pike, you mean to tell me they didn't raise anything? Yes, they did. They raised in the wilderness right on. They planted in the wilderness right on. They done those things in the wilderness right on, just like they've been doing. They had herds of cattle right on. Now, but I'm speaking of the spiritual things of God. They received no more harvest of the blessings of God because when they came over the Jordan, the serpents began to bite them. They mumble and they grumble and they divorced and the earth swallowed them up. And they didn't have nothing but just tossed to and fro, no rest, until they got over the Jordan. When they got over the Jordan, God was among them again. God had went through the camp, separated the sheep from the goat. The elders had died out, and God had took the children that was tender and loving and sweet over into Canaan. Is that right? Now look at it. Here the elders is in Egypt, and God moves with the elders down there in Egypt, but them elders don't ever obey Him. He gives them a harvest and He brings them out into the wilderness, but they never do obey Him. They mumble and grumble. Why? Because they were born in Egypt. Is that right? But then the children that was born out here under the leadership of God and brought up in the days of Moses that come up under the leadership of God, them that was born out there, God took those people and took them into Canaan and they obeyed Him. Why was that? Why was it? Because there's a difference in being born of the Word and being born of Egypt. You follow me? All right. Now, so then what I'm saying is that there was a harvest back there. The seed was planted back there. It went into the ground back there. But now here comes forth the harvest over here. Here comes forth the harvest. What is the harvest? The image that you produce in your outer man. Whatever your outer man turns out to be, that's God's harvest. If it turns out to be an ear of corn, then it's an ear of corn. If it turns out to be wheat, then it's wheat. If it turns out to be a devil, then it's a devil. If it turns out to be the image of God, then it's the image of God. The Bible said, in the morning, that is over Jordan, after death, at the awakening, in the morning when we all come out of the carnal mind's darkness, we're in the darkness, in the wilderness, through the devils and demons can bite us and strike at us as long as we are in the darkness, because they get through the dark carnal thinking to our soul. They get through the weakness of our flesh. A lot of people say, well, when I get rid of the soul body, I won't have any more trouble. That's not true. It's not the body that's causing trouble anyway. That's not what it is. The body is the temple of God. It's holy. Be holy in body. That's not what's giving you the trouble. But it's the fact that you still got the old carnal mind in you. And the spirit of the devil can still work through that old carnal thinking of yours. And as long as he can war with your soul. The Bible said, abstain from fleshly lust that warreth against the soul. Get away from it. You're not in the flesh anymore. You don't walk after the flesh anymore. You're out of the flesh. You're clean from the flesh. How do you understand what I'm saying? All right. The beauty of holiness. Perfecting holiness unto God. You got to perfect holiness. You might say, well, Brother Pike, I don't smoke. That don't mean you're holy. You're getting a start, but that don't mean you're holy. Perfecting holiness, that means going on to perfection, doing something else. There's something else for you to do. Sanctify yourself daily. Every day, put it away. God's grace is new every day for that purpose. So then, if we have come to a different age, if this is a different time, and this is a different time, that's why we went out to Jonesboro like we did. When we went out to Jonesboro, I understood of God that that was the complete closeout concerning the woman perspective of Revelation. That thing that started at Azusa Street, the thing that worked with Brother Branham, all of that was ready to be closed out. And I made the statement, it has to do with this Ted that's up here in Jonesboro, Georgia, that they're about to give 4 or 5 years. Now, it proved to be exactly the way that we said. When we got to Jonesboro, I said, Betty, I don't have any leading to go, any unction to go. I don't have any unction to preach. I got out there and off in the distance, you see the big tent setting beautifully in a beautiful place. I said, I'm still not inspired to preach. Now, I said, I'm just going to talk to God. I said, I feel like this is something that God is suffering. It has to be this way for His plan. And that this is a closeout, that we're going out there, that tent has to do with the closeout. In Dyesburg, when the storm hit it over there like it did, it tore it all to pieces. They took the tent out, and when I got up close to look at the tent, it's full of patches. It's got all kind of patches. They patched it with a dark brown patch here and there and all around over the tent. It don't even match the canvas. The canvas is a light canvas, still beautiful on the inside. No patches seen on the inside. Can't tell much about there, but on the outside, all patched up. What is it? The Bible said, thy garment is moth-eaten. And I made the statement, I said, when that white tent comes in, then that tent will go out. Did I say that? The brother, since then, there's been a wreck in the white Lincoln. It's smashed up. Since then, his tractor and trailers broke down, stranded over in another state. Since then, his tent is tore all to pieces, and they put patches on it. Since then, his wife has left him, went reprobate, got an apartment, won't even go back to him, already divorced him. His home went all to pieces. Now, you say, well, he must be terrible. You know, some people get in as up a fire. In other words, there's people in this world that's going to do what they're going to do. And you can preach to them, and they're not going to honor you. They're going to make the statement like another fellow. He said to a preacher, said, you got to get a passport from Brother Pike to leave, ain't you? Mocking him. But it wasn't long the same fellow come down and sat down at my footstool. That's right, designed my fellowship. Now, that tent, all of that gone out. Why? It was a changeover. It happened just exactly like we said, to prove the Jonesboro meeting had to do with the end of it. The man told me, said, I'm getting rid of the tent. Now, you'll see something there. I'll guarantee you. They that watch it, you'll see something. But now, it's moth-eaten. It's gone. It's over. You watch. If I wanted to give away something, I'd have to get the mind of God, or I'd find myself giving it in the direction that would benefit me the most. And whichever way I went, God would have his way in it, because God prepares man's heart. All right, now. So then, the end of the Western world. What does that mean? Somebody would say, well, I don't see where that's got nothing to do with me, but it has got to do with you. Even the natural people that listen, not just spiritual. The end of the Western world means America is gone down the drain. It doesn't matter if she's got a dozen Jimmy Carters, she's gone. When God's revelation shows she's gone, she's gone. Just like when we said that tenor, Brother Dan, was all that was gone, it went. It went. Now, they can do what they want to, but America has gone down the drain. And you'll see it in a short while. All of this favoring Jimmy Carter and all this kind of thing, everything lifting up. I told you the vision where I saw him come to Atlanta, Georgia, and they had great interest, and he looked over it, and everything was just well. They felt like they wanted to do business there, and all of a sudden they frowned and turned away and left because it was so evil and so much debauchery. And they pulled away from it. See, people in that foreign country kind of take Atlanta, Georgia, since the president's here as Jimmy as big chief, and Atlanta is the throne of this side of the world. Because they've already seen the corruption of California. And they wanted to take a peek at Atlanta. But in division, when they saw the evil and the filth of Atlanta, they didn't want no part of it. They figured their country was as good or better. How are you listening to what I'm saying? It concerns you, my brother. It concerns the bread that goes into your belly. It concerns them bills that you try to pay to keep such a good name. It concerns that nice automobile you got that you try to get enough money to pay on. It concerns that little trailer you got down here on the campground. It concerns your little house. It concerns the taxes that we have to pay out here. If it doesn't concern all of this, why is Jimmy all of a sudden done what he wanted to do in changing the Constitution of the United States? He's broke the amendments of the United States. He's broke them. He set up a Jimmy Carter. He's changed the federal government. America's gone. She's gone down the drain. She's a Jimmy Carter government. And you'll see how long that'll stand. Just like that over yonder, we had Jesus Christ, eternal abundant life, written on the side of that big van there that we gave to the brother. Gave it to him, had it wrote on the side to raise up Jesus, to magnify Jesus. When he took it down and put in big letters his name across it. Look what happened to him. God ain't going to honor his name. He'll honor the name Jesus. I ain't never done nothing for God to honor my name. He ain't never done nothing for God to honor his name. We're not no good boys and good girls. Some of the worst in the world. But he honors the name of Christ. And that's what I want to lift up. I've come to make a name for myself, Jesus said. So that if I take this gospel to try to make a name for myself, I fail the mission altogether. Because he sent it to make a name for himself. He's trying to make the trees sing with gladness here. He said when the Spirit of God comes, when the presence of the Lord comes, then the trees will begin to sing with joy. Look how perfect it was in us going out to Jonesboro. That's over. The woman perspective of it is gone. Going out there, we pulled into a place called Richardson's Trailer Court. The only one out there. Hot, dry, dusty. Pulled in out there. And he began to talk with us. Now I want you to listen and fit these things together now. Pulled in and he began to talk with us out in Arkansas. He considered himself a Bible scholar. He began to tell us all kind of things that he knew about the Bible. Wanted to fellowship. Wanted to talk with me. But see, God prepared his heart to do that because God was bringing about a revelational thing that the natural mind would never have seen. Only the spiritual mind would have seen it. And I sat there listening. And he asked me a question. He said, do you know in the Bible where it says the seed died? I just sat there because I knew there wasn't no such thing in the Bible that I knew of. But he kept on till he got his point over. Concerning our trip to Arkansas, hold your thoughts now. You can go a little ways without jumping the gun and getting scattered like buckshot. I sat there and talked with him. He talked religious. He talked about God. The great things of God, telling me about the book of Revelation. Finally, I knew what he was talking about in the book of Revelation where it said everything in the sea died. Not that the sea died, but everything in the sea died. Now, while he was talking, he was also trying to tell me about the mark of the beast, vicarious filiadea. And I said, yeah, I understand that. At the same time he was telling me all these things, outside, it was hot, dry, dusty, temperature exceedingly fierce. Hadn't had any rain in a long time. The dust just billowed up just like a herd of Indians coming. While he was talking, flies just swarming all around. He'd sit there and he'd take his hand, he'd hit them flies. And he'd tell me about his trouble. Tell me about a ranch he had out in Sacramento, California. How that he lived with his wife, raised some sons, and then found out she wasn't the right kind of woman. How he married another woman, sold his ranch. How he come over here to Arkansas, set up the trailer court, paid the man $100,000 for it. Just to give you a little insight on what I'm trying to tell you. Build a little framework, a little background. Now, but he sat there talking to me. He said, I tried to be a Christian all my life. When I found out where he was from Georgia. Decatur, Georgia, the place of the strong man. But while he was talking to me, he told me that his sons, being in college, were studying, I don't know if he called it oceanology or what you'd call it, but they had learned through their studies that everything in the sea would be dead in a few years. Said, my two sons has got master's degrees. Said, and scientists has proven beyond a shadow of a doubt that within a few short years that everything in the sea will die, just according to Revelation. And said, when it does, the Bible said the sea will come as the blood of a dead man. They say that the blood will come up to the top of the water. And that it will form a hard crust like the blood of a dead man. It'd be black, hard. And said the crust will be so hard that the sun cannot draw the vapor to cause the clouds that mediate between the sun and between the earth to keep the sun from scorching it. All the plants will die because they can't get any breath. Plants have to breathe. And everything will become a stink. Along with that, scientists have released a report that within a few years, that the same drought that's hit California that's turning into powder, just like the vision we saw, Said in a few years, and the years that they use is exactly the number of years that the others use for that which is going to happen in the ocean. That within a few years, that the whole earth will just be like a powder. She'll just be burned up within a few years because of the drought, the way it's taking place. All of it fitly framed together. While we were sitting there and he was telling me all of this. Now, listen at this now. Try to be spiritual. Here he was talking about the tribulation period. About the mark of the beast. Here he was confirming it with scientific facts. Here the land was hot, dry, and dusty. Here's a new tent patched up with little old patches all over it where it's been tore up. Here's a typical church. Things that I don't want to mention. Homes split all to pieces. See, just like them seven church ages going out, them seven girls that was in the family. And the church being asleep at the midnight cry, going worldly. The great whore bobbing off the hair and all them things. Are you listening? And there were swarms of mosquitoes that were so terrible, it was just about unbelievable. And they said the night before it was even worse than that. But it just had to keep them off just like that. And the people just frantically spraying and a fanning just like that, trying to listen. You understand what I'm saying about the plagues, the dryness, all these things? You understand what I'm saying? God sent us there because it's over. When does that come in? Revelation 12, when that child is caught up to the throne, it comes in. I made the statement that the child had been caught up to the throne. That the throne was the mind of Christ, the revelation, the third heaven, he'd be caught up. And that Jimmy Carter was a type of it, the woman's world over here. And it's fixing to go into a tribulation period. All right? Here this man said, with all of those conditions, the church gone to nothing. Fanning flies. Finally he said, get out of here. Got real vexed. He just almost got frantic for a few minutes. Said, I ain't no Egyptian. Get out of here. I'm talking about an intelligent man now. I told you a little bit of the background to show you what you can come to. Paid $100,000 for that trailer court. He wasn't no moron. Then he said, I ain't no Egyptian. Said, why does God want to send all these flies on me? Said, but all that silliness he's doing. I said, man, God ain't silly. He said, well, all this foolishness he's carrying on. Said, don't he know we're just human beings? Said, hot flies. All the dust and everything, you know. Now, what did the Bible say? It said they'll curse God. Didn't it do that? Here he calls God a fool, and here he says God's silly. You understand what I'm saying? He said, he just makes me downright angry. He said, I get mad at him. He said, don't you? I said, no. I answered him right quick and short and sharp. No, I don't get mad at him. He ain't silly. He ain't foolish. He knows exactly what he's doing. He said, but I've been a Christian all my life. He said, look at the way my wife, you know, and on down. He said, my other wife's in the hospital now. Just had a wreck. And the Lord said to me, said he belongs to the Seventh-day Adventist church. So I talked on a few minutes. I said, sir, I said, where do you go to church? He said, I'm Seventh-day Adventist. All right, now, you see what I'm saying? That's the church world for you. What is the church world going to do? They're going to curse God. The man, he said he was Christian. He was a Bible scholar. All of those things. He was prosperous. But look at his attitude. What was it that was taking place? He said, my daddy was mayor of Tacoma, Georgia, back up there. I'm talking about serpents climbing up in the high places now. Had a ranch in California, $100,000 trailer park over there. How many understand what I'm saying? But what was it with all that he had? He didn't have nothing but heartaches, vanity, problems, vexation. See, Tacoma, Georgia, the strong man. What was the Lord saying spiritually? The strong man, the man child, being caught up to the throne. The mayor, the ruler, the country, being put out of his presence. the Egyptian plagues falling, the tribulation coming in, the dust. At the same time all of this was taking place, on those very nights, the stars was falling from heaven. They reported it. We said it'd be have to do with tribulation. You'll come in and get a perfect type of it as it moves in. And somebody told me they counted 10 stars falling the other night. Stood there and counted 10 of them. See, at the same time, the very nights that we're out there, the stars fall from heaven. All of them things taking place, the Egyptian plagues. Now, I know some of you don't see, say, oh, it's a bunch of foolishness. But isn't it strange how all that foolishness fits together? That's what that man thought it was foolishness, you know. But isn't it strange how every bit of that little bit of foolishness, as you call it, fits together? Whereas the Bible said God has chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. You understand what I'm saying? All right, so there it was. It was the closeout. What is it? When the man-child is caught up to the throne, and I review this with you, when he's caught up to the throne, the woman cannot mark the child by the beast, which is the outer passions of the flesh. I travail to Christ to be formed in you. Now, when that child is formed, it breaks into an outer image of the Son of God. But before that, it completes its form, its features on the inside where nobody's seen it. The child is mature on the inside. The features, the image, just like the daddy, everything. It is completely mature. Nobody's seen it. But it's already his child. If it's a boy, it's a man child. Already his image. Alright? But there has to be a day of deliverance. God sent Moses down to bring a day of deliverance. Isn't that one right? The woman's time at hand to be delivered. That's the terms the Bible uses. Alright, now. So then when we went out there, that showed it. The man child's caught up. Where was he caught up? To the throne. Where's it at? Has to do with little Bethlehem near Atlanta where the president's at. What is the throne? You say, you mean little Bethlehem's the throne? No, the mind of Christ is the throne. But little Bethlehem is the place that God's choosing to be holy in body. They bring a body. They bring out a millennium. When that child goes up to the throne, the red dragon goes out like that in a personification. You say, what is that? The red dragon is the bloodstream. The red dragon is the intellectual reason, the generation of vipers that John spoke of back there. It is the bloodstream. It is that perverted life. It is the life that stepped aside from the spiritual life of Christ and took on the personification of the image of the beast. That's what it is. Now, if we look at the western part of the world, the woman, and we look at the eastern part of the world, we can see in what I just did, the move of God moving from the west to the east. You say, how do you say that? I told my wife, I said, I don't believe there'll be over 8 or 10 people in that tent. Now there was more, when I said that, I meant people from Arkansas. There was more than that. Some of our people was there and some of his people was there. But the people was from there, they counted them, I believe there was either 8 or 10 of them. Now, that was the west, that big three-pole tent going out. But when we went over yonder at the tent in Carolina, somebody estimated 100. Somebody said about 500 to 600 people. Why? Because it was moving to the east. Still a three-pole tent, almost brand new over there. Over here in this area, what is it? Patched up, worn out, gone. The flesh is at an end. The whoredom's at an end. The way the mother harlot and the daughters did, it's at an end. You understand what I'm saying? Now, look at it right now. Brother J.T. Parnell, we just got word this morning. Brother Bob Pickle called. Brother J.T. Parnell has got his two-pole white tent, as far as I know, that's the one he's got up there, around Bessemer, North Carolina. I believe that's the name of it. Now, I was just getting ready. I already talked here a month or so ago about setting a meeting up in that area. Tent around Thomasville or High Point area, back in that area, or Charlotte. Now, but why did JT go up there? Why did the Lord speak to JT and tell him to come off of the field and not to preach anymore? Why was it when we went out west that Brother Terrell was over at the Delmar Stadium? And when we got over at Brother Delmer's, he was over near a place called terror. The thing so perfectly coordinating and fitting together to show that the child has went up to that third heaven, which is the throne, which is the mind of revelation. The Old Testament, New Testament, John calls it the book of Revelation. The third pull. Why is it that Brother Dickens come up yesterday and wants us to go to Griffin, down to a black man's church? He just has put a white top on the church. Wants us to go down there, have a meeting. He said, Brother Pike, I believe it has to do with God. Said, it's on 3rd Street. Said, I believe it's the third pull. And the black people down there having to do with the Jews. You know, the wicked black people have to do with gross darkness covering the people. And evil taking over the carnal mind. And the holy black people have to do with the Jews, God's clock in the night. Now, why is it that this plus many multiplied things that we could say this morning fit so perfectly together? Why is it that at this time when Jimmy's got the whole world following after him, that the Jews are beginning to act up against Jimmy? I made the statement, I said, Ahab along with Jezebel, and I said it'd be that Kennedy thing, you remember that. Jackie will be in the picture, she already is. I said they'll get everything but Naboth's vineyard. And the ministry, God raising up Elijah, will point a finger at him and cause him to be eaten by the dogs. Jehu in his chariot, that zeal of the Jews, feeding Ahab to the dogs, or Jezebel rather. Why is it at this time that Israel's rising up and they're getting upset at Jimmy? Why is that? Because Jezebel, you say, who is Jezebel? The lipstick painted up, powdered up, form-fitting dresses, the church. That's what it is, the Jezebel. Mrs. Jezebel, married to Mr. Ahab. Who is that? Religiously called JC. Why not? All religion. The PTL. The PTL club. What's them others? A number of the others. Pat Roberts and so forth. All them. You say, Brother Pike, don't you believe in men love God? The Bible said, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. And my commandments is the word of God. They're not keeping the word of God. You say, but they're talking about Jesus. I don't mean this against them, because maybe there's something good about them and I hope they come out. But you put any devil on television and give him a fat sour and feed him good, he'll talk about Jesus. That's what you have to do to get it. It's another cunning, deceitful, undermining way to get the poor religious people into a trap. Get them after worldly prestige and make them think that Satan, being a prince of this world, he's got all them things out there to make them look like a bunch of morons because they don't have the refineries of life. And to turn their mind out there and think that what they ought to have is a big business and prestige and a big Cadillac. It's a lying vanity. And the same way with the church world out there and them running around the tents, a lot of them things is lying, signs, and wonders. Mrs. Jezebel. John saw, he marveled at her. He said, my, all the refineries dressed in purple. Everything, that's the church. Sure, got to be prosperous, you know. All they know to do is preach prosperity and healing. Who don't want that? Any devil would love to have that. But do you ever see him preach holiness? I said years ago, I said, old Roberts ain't going to preach holiness. I said, he ain't going to preach it because he can't do what he wants to do if he preaches it. He didn't preach it. And I said, he'll fall away. And he did fall away. Now, so then you say, Brother Pike, what are you trying to say? I mean, it's got to be holiness, the beauty of holiness. If that child is caught up, you know, you press a woman when she's carrying a child, or you press a woman anyway, she's the weaker vessel, and she'll turn away from her husband. See, if she can't have her strength in her husband, if he gets just a little bit too much in restrictions, she'll turn away and she'll look for relief and help from other sources. And if she can find a man over here that she could talk to and say, well, I like your husband, but he's just a little bit too hard. She'll always be crying on his shoulder until it ends up in the slop pen. Somebody say hallelujah. I'm still talking like John the Baptist. It's all right. Like Jesus. It's all right. Now, so then she'll lean on him. And God knew that. And he didn't want this woman to lean toward the weakness of the passions and the flesh. He didn't want that. If he had enforced the law like he did in the days of Moses, what would we have done? Lent toward the weakness of the flesh, which says it's too hard for us. Like they told the prophets that the way is too straight for us. Are you going to hold on a few more minutes? I'll end in just a little bit. Now, he didn't want that woman to lean to the weakness of the flesh. So when she done wrong, when she whined and whimpered, he just said, like a man with his wife, he'd say, honey, don't worry about it. Everything's going to be all right. You know, and at that time, he'd left to took her across his knee and give her a good worn out. And he'll get around to that. He said, I'll make Jacob pass under the rod. But right now, it's honey and sugar. Because I want that child to be perfect in my image. I don't want him to be marked. I don't want you to lean into that weak of the flesh. But when that child's born, young lady, I'll straighten you out. All right, so that's where it's at. The young lady's fixing to be straightened out. Now you say, how do you know that? Because Jimmy Carter in the United States represents that young lady. But them Jews over yonder represents that Christ, that Jesus, and he's going to straighten the United States out. You watch and see her frolicking frivolous ways and doing in movies and parties and everything else. You watch the Jews straighten it out. Brother, when he pops the whip and turns over the money tables, that young lady, she'll do right. You better believe she will. When he points over here and he says, lady, here's riches and splendor and glory and everything you ever desired. If you'll honor me and obey me. Wives, honor your husband like the church. Over here, he said, there's the whip, and that's where I turn over the money tables. You choose you this day which one you want. And she'll choose. She'll make the right choice. All right, so then, you say, who are you talking about, Brother Pike? My wife? No, I'm talking about you. You're the flesh. You're that young lady he's going to straighten out. All right, now, when we think of that, that means that there is a new move taking place. If that is over, if T.L. Osborne, Oral Roberts, Billy Graham, William Branham, all of them, if that's over out there, then that means that the spiritual part, which is the redemption of the body, starts. You follow me? That was the spiritual part. As far as being born again in the spirit. But now the spiritual part, which is the redemption of the body, starts. Perfecting holiness unto the Lord. How did the thing start off? It started off with a Jew. How's it going to end up? It's going to end up with a Jew. How did it start off in the spirit? It started with holiness. How's it going to end up? Holiness. Them boys had holiness in that early church. They live holy. Them women live holy. People live holy. They come out from among the world. And the world persecuted them. Then it went into the dark age and got under the control of the great whore. Now it's coming back out. And it's coming back to holiness. And God's been real good to us. All right, now, when we look at it, what is it? It is the Eastern perspective of God. It is now the new move of a new ministry of new members and new people. The children over Jordan. That is true. This building down here had to do with the close out of the Gentiles just before I left. The doors got up. Brother Little John and him got the doors on it. And Brother Atlee handed me the key. John the Revelator. I took the keys. Then they moved the printing equipment down there into it. Why? Because this up here represents the spiritual part of it. That down there represents the bodily part. Even the natural would tell you that. Because you do natural things down there, that's the bodily part. You do those things down there for the body. Out here in this little building, This building out here was a little bit different. It had to do with the soul part of it. Now you say, how do you get that? Because they handle the money part out there. Isn't that right? What's the money got to do with the soul? The Bible said, buy whatever your soul lusteth after. All right, so then, that building, closing, the stars falling, the end of the Gentiles, the man-child caught up, the wrath of God, Lucifer, taking on a personification through education and college, and the things of the world, money, programs, power, it's all at hand. It's all at hand. Brother Branham said that by 77, he said, I know that you brethren are going to question this. He said, but as a scholar of the word, he said, I hold to the fact that the system of the world will terminate by 77. Did it do it? It done it. When Jimmy Carter changed the government, that was the end of the world system. You say, Brother Pike, what do you mean? I mean, in every world system, there has to be one country that is predominantly the leader and the head of it. And America has been the head of it, and Jimmy killed it. And it's gone. If you offend at one point, you're guilty of all. What's a constitution that somebody can put together over here and change it whenever they want to? What security do I have? If he can change one amendment, he can change another amendment. He rose up over the Protestant people, which is the Baptist people. Millions of them cried out against it, but he still rose up over it. But now when Roosevelt started to do it, and the Baptist people and different ones cried out against it, we had a constitution. They stopped him. But it didn't stop him this time. Why? Because the world system is gone. She's at an end. That ends it. There ain't going to be no other country that's going to rise up and lead like America did. The Jews are going to come on the scene and bring in a millennium. See, the world system is gone. That world is over and gone. Now it's the millennium, the new world. It's the system coming in. It's happened just exactly like we said in the mind of God. The revelation in the mind of God. Why did them stars fall? God didn't have to let them stars fall from heaven right at the very time he told us about this other. Now did he? Now what it is, you know, he said, there's that bald-headed preacher, so to speak, down there on earth. He's telling them people something, go out there, Gable, and shake them stars out of heaven so they'll know that as on earth, so in heaven. Whatever he binds down there, I'll bind it up here and shake them out. Because the Bible said the stars will fall from heaven. In that, when that child goes up, that woman goes out. That church world is no longer in the grace of God. She goes into the tribulation period. See, grace is gone then. Then the fountains open in the house of David, which is the children of God. And then them stars fall from heaven. Who are they? Them preachers. Garment, moth-eaten, them preachers. Them things, the preachers begin to fall from heaven, and the people, the leaders and deacons and different ones, they begin to fall from heaven. You say, what do you mean fall from heaven? I mean that grace is with them no more. They'll begin to feel cold, begin to feel different like Saul did, begin to feel separated from the Spirit of God. Say, because you've not obeyed the Word of God, then God's rejected you because you rejected His Word. Is that right? So they'll fall from heaven, many of them, many people that's one time been in the grace of God will tumble down. They're no longer in the Spirit. They'll go on religiously like Cain did, but like Esau, when time comes for the birthright, they'll find it ain't there. What are you talking about, Brother Pike? I'm talking about the beauty of holiness. You love Jesus? All right, let's stand together. We got a call this morning. Brother Bob Wells is moving to Jeffersonville, Indiana. He's moving away from Charlotte. Moving over to Jeffersonville, and Brother James Myers called, and Brother Ted King was also there with him. See, that's something that denotes something too right there, you know. You love Jesus? Now, there's just a lot of things I'd like to say. How many multiplied times have I said that when I was in the pulpit? A lot of things I'd like to say. Jesus said there is, but Brother Pike, you're dull of hearing. But Lord, help me not to be dull of hearing. Help me to love God with all my heart. If the goodman of the house had known what hour the thief would have come, I'm trying to tell you what hour he's coming. Not me speaking, but God. If he'd have known, he wouldn't have suffered him to break his house up. What is his house? What's the breaking up of the house? Try to live a good, holy life. And then you say, oh, well, he's delayed his coming. I might as well get a little bathing on the side, you know, and I might as well puff a little on the side. I might as well take in a movie on the side. And all of a sudden, you're all broke up. See, the thief's got you all broke up. Isn't that right? because you didn't know the hour. But if you know the hour, you'll have a fear of God. You'll shape up your house. You'll sit there and you watch. And you won't suffer the thief to mislead you and cause you to do this, that, and the other. For relatives and friends and children and compromise. I got mothers here, they'll compromise for them children. And mother, I love you, but as I breathe the breath of God, you're going to hell just as sure as I'm standing here. You've compromised with them children. Daddy, you've compromised with them children. And as sure as you live, you'll go to hell for it. You got to lay them all on the altar for God. Mama, daddy, children, all of them. All right. You love him? Let's bow our heads for just a minute now. Father of heaven, I've said the things that I understood, Heavenly Father, to tell the truth. And that's all I know to do. And I trust, dear God, that you'll take whatever I have said. The people have received it well, Jesus. They've listened good. And though I know there's spots and blemishes among our feast of charity, I know that they're out there. But I'm asking you, Lord Jesus, to help me. Help me not to have a froward mind. Help me not to have a voice of distortion intermingled with the things of Satan. Help me not to speak wrong or have a spirit of error. But let me speak the holy things of God, the spirit of holiness, the beauty of holiness. Let me serve thee, O God, in the beauty of holiness. Whatever thought is holy and virtuous and pure. Paul said, let these be my thoughts, and Father, let these be my thoughts. Let me think on those things. Lord, let me move everything out of my house, spiritually and naturally, that would be unlike Jesus, that would put any image or unclean thing before my eyes. But Lord, you said we have pure eyes than to behold that which is evil. And even you, Almighty God, could not look upon your own Son when he was clothed and made sin. Our eyes are too pure to look upon sin, because the eyes of our understanding belong to God. And we're members of that body, Father, bone and flesh. Of your own body. Lord, we ask you to heal the people, to prosper the people, to bless the people, to forgive the people, to help the people. Move all resentment, all ungodliness, everything out of their heart and mind. Help them not to live in their own thinking, Father, for that's the wrong world. It's dead and buried, but help us to live in your thinking, that we lean not to our own understanding. But to have the mind in us that's in Christ Jesus. Where, as you said, let it be in us, Father. Let it be in me, Father. I let it be in me to the best of my ability. And help me, Lord, that it might be in me. That I might live in that third heaven. Now, I know, Lord, that that babe within the wound of our heart. It's already in your image, Father. It's already in your image and the life is already in it. And the day of deliverance is at hand. Lord, as you said in the Old Testament, the opening of the matrix of the firstborn holy unto God, when the heavens roll back, dear God, and the heavens as a matrix opens up, and the Son of the living God steps forth, we know that we'll be like him when that babe appears on the scene. And dear God, we pray, Lord, that in this great hour, Lord, that we can be seen in your image in the redemption of our bodies. Redeeming the body by holiness. For Lord, that's the thing that's been lost from the church. That's the thing that pleased you in the early church. It's been lost and it's gone, Lord. But Father, you are the spirit of holiness. And you said it'd be light in the evening time in the church. And dear God, fill our hearts with this great revelational light of that city. That we may see in this evening time darkness as it covers the people. As gross darkness covers the people. Let this great city that's a light, that's set on the hill of Zion, the high hills of your understanding, be raised up that all the nations might flow unto it. And in that day they might say, let us remember our God and go up to his house. Let us be your house, Lord. Well, we are your fallen down house. But Lord, we're built back up into the holy priesthood now. And dear God, the Ark of the Covenant is in it now. And the light of God is in it now. And the train of God fills the temple now. And oh God, lift it up that all the nations can see this light. And flow unto it, saying, let us remember our God and go up to his house. That he may teach us his ways. Teach us your ways, Jesus, for the ways of the world have failed. The ways of the government has failed. Jimmy Carter's failed. All the others have failed. But oh God, thy kingdom shall be established. Thy ways shall be made known unto the people. And the joy of the Lord shall fill their heart. And they shall rejoice. And they shall sing. And they shall be happy all day, Father, from the presence of your greatness. Be with us and help us and heal us. Forgive us. Teach us. Watch over our people on the roads and the highways. Keep them safe. Meet the needs. Watch over little Bethlehem. Bless it in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's sing a chorus together, can we? Forgive me if I bother you resorting to that water. But I can't help it. I get soaking wet. And when I say that, I'm not exaggerating. Even my socks and my shoes get soaked. I've always been like that when I preached. It's about all my ministry. Now, let's sing this little chorus together. I love you. You're good people. You're good people. You have to be good people. If you were not good people, then David over yonder in the Holy Land, he wouldn't have said you was good people. You're good people. Holy people. Righteous people. But folks, we need to move up in God. We need to move up. You say, but I've already prayed, but that's not enough. I've already fasted, but folk, that ain't enough. The Jews did that. But we need to be filled with the spirit of holiness. The Bible said be filled with the spirit, and there's but one spirit, that's his holiness, God. Filled with holiness until our cup runs over, and my hands won't handle nothing but holy things. And my eyes won't look at nothing but holy things. And the spirit of holiness runs over in my vessel so that my steps won't go anywhere but to something that's holy. My lips won't speak anything but that which is holy. And my mind won't think anything except that which is holy. I need to be filled up and overflowing with the great spirit of God. No resentment, no hatred, no malice, no jealousy, no haughtiness. Lady, listen. Don't put that long dress on. Wear it here and then go out yonder in the world or somewhere else and wear a short dress. Don't do that. That's a hypocrite. Don't do that. If you don't believe in wearing the long dresses, just don't wear them. Now somebody said, well, Brother Pike, you can't come to your church unless you do wear them. No. No, that's not right. If you're dressed anyways to where we can minister to you or the people can stand to be around you, you could come on to the church and we'll preach to you. But I believe with all of my heart, this is my conviction, that you ought to wear those long dresses. They should not be form-fitting, and neither should they look like a bag or a sack or an umbrella somebody spread over you. You should look like a lady and like a human being. Not protruding in your body, but not like you're hid under a haystack. You should look like a human being, like God would want you to look. If you wear those long dresses for the sake of Christ, love them, appreciate them. You look so much better in them. Women out yonder look like a freak to me. Cut the dresses off halfway up their body. They look like a bunch of freaks. You men dress right. Some of you dressing close or tight, you look like you've been melted down, poured in them. Some of you that's supposed to be the closest to me, you need to do something about it. And do this for me. You men, be a real man. I said this the other day. A man that goes around, he feels he's a pretty boy. He feels like he's so pretty, everybody's looking at him. He feels like he can't pass a man's wife. He can't pass a young girl, but what, she don't just do cartwheels, or there's just something about him that she's just got to look at. Now, if you're that kind of person, then I want to tell you, you're a devil to start with. If that's the kind of person you are, you're a devil to start with. If you feel that way about women, and if women feel that way about you, you are a devil. God put you there, and you are a devil. A man that'll stand around and his mind always on women, always on women, always on women. There's something wrong with that man. If every time you get a group of brethren and you go to talk with them out here about God, and some woman comes by and two or three of them, their mind goes running out like out there like an old hound dog. There's something wrong with that fellow. That's not the nature of Jesus Christ. And if a woman is in that condition that every time a man comes by, or she's sitting at home and she picks up a book or a magazine or a Sears and Roebuck catalog, her mind goes to it, that woman has got a devil. She's got a lust devil. And someday it'll show its color. You say, Brother Pike, I think you're wrong. Hundreds of others thought I was wrong too. But they found out it was just exactly like I said. Some of them that went on long, extensive fastings, men and women alike, they thought I was wrong, but they found out I was right. Now, so I'm trying to tell you something. Holiness is the work of the heart. If you're in that condition, young lady or young man, you got a devil. You might be at a little Bethlehem, you might be on the campground, but you got a lust devil in you. The man that loves God, he's clean and holy in his mind and his heart, and he ain't got his mind on his body to start with. He don't keep his mind on his face and how big he is and how little he is and whether he looks sharp or not. And the woman that's got God's not like that. They've got their mind in heaven. They've got their mind on holy things and spiritual things. I don't think that a man ought to just be a slob and sit down and just eat and glutton and eat. He ought to want to look like a human being, and a woman ought to too. But I'm going to tell you something. For all these things that you're doing, the wrath of God will come on you. When it comes on you, it'll cause you to be lost. You say, well, Brother Pike, I know some churches that don't teach like you teach. But I know some churches that don't teach the third heaven too. I know some that don't teach a hundredfold too. I know some that ain't the man child. That ain't going to be up there where I'm talking about. I know some that's still in the rims of the red dragon over there in that second heaven too. All right. So then it depends on what you want to be, where you want to go. David said, Father, forgive me for the intent of my heart. Isn't that right? He was clean and holy. His heart was as pure, just as pure as it could be. But one day, he didn't obey God and go out to battle. He went up on the housetop, and a devil came by. Somebody said, David made a mistake. It wasn't no mistake. David gave way to a devil. You say, you don't have no Bible for that. When the prophet of the Lord came, he said, David, there was a man and a stranger came by. Didn't he? Isn't that right? Said a stranger came by. He said, but where do you get that the devil is a stranger? The Bible said, my sheep know my voice, and a stranger they will not follow. Said, David, a stranger came by, and his heart was all messed up then. So see, we don't want to do that. Let's be holy. Then when you're holy, the Spirit of God will begin to revelate from inside. That radiance that Moses had, faithful in all of his house, will begin to radiate on the outside of you, and you'll be holy. You'll be swallowed up. Wisdom will make your face to glow. You'll be clean, and you'll already be in heaven and already be in the kingdom of God. And that little child in the womb of that heart will already be in his lovely image. And all you'll be waiting for is Thessalonians' moment. Twinkling of the eye. That's all. But you got to do this, folks. Perfecting holiness unto the Lord, the beauty of holiness is what we need in the church. And that is the power of the church. All right, when Jesus conquered the flesh in the wilderness, he returned in the power of the Spirit. Because the power is the virtue. You want to sing this little chorus together? We had a man to leave the church a few days ago. And he made the statement. He said, the reason I left, he said he realized that he didn't have nothing from God. He said he'd been around in other churches and heard them preach. And the way they all carried on went on, he thought everything was all right. He had something from God too. He said, but when he heard them preach at Little Bethlehem, said he knew that he didn't have nothing. And said he might as well just go on back out in the world and be there. And that's right. That's right. When a man does that, he's better off. Say, well, he might get killed. Well, if he gets killed, he just go to hell. I'd rather go to hell as a sinner than go to hell as a hypocrite. Okay, you say, well, hell's hell. What difference does it make if he throws a hypocrite into hell and throws the devil into hell and throws you into hell? You're all in hell. No, that ain't all there is to it. The Bible said he will receive the greater damnation. It's bad enough to be in hell, but there's some greater damnation. There's a blessing from the Lord 30-fold, but there's a greater. There's a third heaven, 100-fold. There's a greater damnation. And Jesus spoke of people that would receive the greater damnation. I don't know how he's going to do it. He may turn the heat up a little hotter. But there's one thing about it. He said, preach the word, and the word says greater damnations, and that's what I'm telling you. I believe I understand it. Okay, let's sing this little chorus, can we? I want thee, Lord. I want thee. Every hour I want thee. I want thee now, sweet Jesus.